Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and feeling a little bit dusty as we record this, because yesterday, or a couple of days ago, we through the magic of podcasting, we had our draft, our home league, Steve, and suffice to say, I got on the sauce on a work night, and paying for it this morning. But how you doing, Steve?
I'm doing fine, because I was driving, because I'm not the commissioner of our league, so I didn't organise it on a Sunday. Although you did do it at your own house, so you were just messing. You're asking for trouble there, John, I feel. And I think you've got your just desserts from the sounds of it. But I'm going to throw a Stremple out. I haven't thrown a Stremple out for a while. And there's a Twitter page called Music Brownlow. I don't know if any of you follow it, where you give 3-2-1s on. They ask various questions like, who's your favourite band, or what are your favourite, I don't know, Nirvana albums or whatever. Anyway, they asked you your Brownlow votes for your three favourite TV intro credit music, and there was about 25 people had voted, and no one people had voted for DuckTales. Now, what world am I living in when no one remembers the that was the only thing about the show that was great, let's be honest. But the song itself was just unbelievable. Like,
is that the one Scrooge McDuck dives into his bin? Yeah, it was a great show.
Great, but great theme song. Like, whatever. People are voting for MASH and all this other crap. I'm like, come on, people. Get it to DuckTales. I might cut it into the show just so people can relive the glory. Anyway.
Better than MASH.
Goddamn right. The worst part about hearing the MASH theme song is, you know, MASH is about to follow it.
Yeah, that's right. And a big welcome to you, Statesman, there in Tasmania. You just that look on your face going, what the hell is DuckTales?
That's exactly right. Sopranos I would have gone for. But anyway, that's life. Gentlemen, it's footy season. It's remarkable. Woke up this morning, it was wet, it was windy, it was cold, and it was the big breath of fresh air. It's the first Monday of footy season. And I feel wonderful. Loving it. We're back.
And the news is dropping that Devon Smith and Darcy Parrish hasn't been training with the main group. There's injuries popping up left, right and centre now. So people have had their drafts on the weekend. Oh, you didn't hear this news. He hasn't been.
Breaking news, Statesman. Breaking news.
He has been training away from the main group for about a week now. We still don't know exactly what's wrong with him, but
Darcy Parrish or yep. Devon Smith?
Darcy Parrish. But it wouldn't surprise me if Devon Smith.
But you said Devon Smith at the start, didn't you?
But I'm hungover as hell. I don't know what the hell
right. I'm saying. Oh, right. I'm going through a heart attack.
Darcy Parrish.
Oh, that's
so okay. In doubt for round one. But on the show today, we are talking actual footy predictions. We're going through a bit of Statesman's captains, and the fans have asked for it. We put the tweet out early this afternoon. A bit of trading 101, and we're going to get through all your questions as well. But for the in-season show, we've changed the format up a little bit. We're not going to be talking about fantasy scores and whatnot like all the other pods do. We're going to be talking waivers, bit of trading, captains as well, time on ground, role changes, a bit of a mixed bag just to give you that insight to look for that extra gem that might have been missed on the waiver wire, or just giving you that extra bit of info to get a trade done in your league. But we are kicking it off with our actual footy predictions. And to start it off, guys, who is going to be your premier for 2018?
Yeah, John, I just want to reiterate your point. I'm looking forward to the in-season shows, finally not talking about scores ad nauseum. I think it's going to be a hell of a lot better show than before. But the premier, I'm buying into the hype. It's the Port Adelaide Power. I'm buying in.
Wow.
All the pressure in the world. We know it's a pressure game. Stevie Motlop up forward, Tom Rockliffe in the middle. All those, they're there to win. I'm convinced of it. The percentage was there last year. They just didn't get over the hump in the finals. A little bit of extra class. I don't mind it.
Well, they've gone the Michael Voss train of thought. Just get as many guns and players in and throw everything at a flag. Unfortunately for Michael Voss, when he was a coach, he didn't have the talent behind him, but I don't mind it. Port have a fair bit of talent behind him this year.
Well, unlike Michael Voss, they didn't give up three first-round picks to do it also, and Daniel Bradshaw, so let's be mindful of that. This was just a free agency coup. I'm buying in, and I can see there's obviously flaws in every team, but I will just go with the Port.
I'm going to go really decisive with these footy predictions. So for this one, and I'll explain my reasons why, I'm going for the Premier to be GWS or Adelaide or Richmond or Sydney or Port Adelaide or Essendon or Melbourne. I think they're actually all in the running. I'll explain this. GWS, you would say, has the best midfield talent. Yep. And has the potential to have the two best key forwards in Jeremy Cameron and Patton. But what they don't seem to have is an elite small forward, and what they don't seem to have is an elite defence. So it's a bit thin on the ground. When you're recruiting Lockie Keith to cover one of your key positions, you're actually saying, we've got a bit of a hole here. Adelaide, as we saw last year, I think they've got a pretty good balance. So I'm thinking Adelaide have got the right mix, but they didn't have a great final series and didn't show that they could play really great finals footy. Richmond won it out of the blocks. Now, we can't write them off because they've still got the basis of a premiership team there. Now, whether they can still have the same energy and drive, but you look at them stat-wise, they're not a premiership team if you look at them stats right across the board. Sydney have got the forward line, they've got the midfield, and I think they've got a pretty good defence. What they might be missing is the ruck duo that could set them up for victory, and they're going to rely on Callum Sinclair. I think maybe in fantasy football we've been laughing at Callum Sinclair for a few years, but he got dragged over by West Coast as being a potential number one ruckman. But they've got that weakness there. Port Adelaide, as you just mentioned, Steve, have fixed some holes. But my problem with them, I think they only beat three opponents that were above them for the whole year last year. Out of the top eight, they only had three victories. So that's a fair bit of catching up to do. And whether you can go and do that in finals, I'm a little bit unsure. Essendon obviously was a recoup year last year, but then they've gone and fixed some holes that they've got. And I actually really like their young midfield, and I think they're going to be quite impressive, and they're going to be able to score. I mean, they've got the fantasy BNF in Joe Danaher playing for them as well. He'll kick many a goal. And then, of course, Melbourne's on the rise, as we all know. So I really struggled. If I'm going to be dragged to say anyone, it's going to be GWS. But weren't they meant to be going for flag three out of five on the trot? That's what we're all talking about 2 years ago. Well, that's what the commentators were saying, that this is a disgrace and this competition's just going to be GWS winning five flags. Well, it hasn't happened. I think, and hindsight may prove us wrong, but I think this is going to be the most even top eight that we've ever had. And I could be wrong, because it could be St Kilda, it could be the Western Bulldogs that pop up and win the premiership from here. I'm struggling, gentlemen, and I think it's going to be a fantastic season.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree as well. I've got the GWS. I just think, even though you think they don't have an elite defence, look at the Bulldogs. They didn't have an elite defence. They had an elite defender in JJ, yep, who turned it over. But they've got some quality players in their defence, and you look at players like Dale Morris, Easton Wood, they're not fantasy relevant, but they did their job, and I'm sure the GWS blokes, if they all stay fit, that's what killed them last year, was just the injuries in that team. And Toby Green is a small forward.
The premiership will probably go to the team that suffers the least injuries and has the most consistency throughout the year, gets himself in the position, and is fighting fit going into the finals.
Well, doesn't that, totally like, to me, that's sort of why I like Port Adelaide, because to me, if I look across their team, there's no real depth issues. Like, they're kind of strong in every position. They've topped up. What they did, they didn't lose a great deal. They lost Jackson Trangrove, sort of thing. Like, I know you can mention they didn't beat a finalist. Well, that's not a personnel thing. That's not a belief. I think that's something you can turn around internally.
My only question with Port is if they lose Ryder.
Oh, well, that's you know, if anyone lost
their... But Dougal Howe was serviceable.
If Sydney lost Buddy Franklin, if GWS lost Jeremy Cameron, you know, like, we could all say that about anyone, theoretically. But
I still think Ryder's pretty important for that Port Adelaide team, whereas if you lost Cameron, you've still got some quality forwards in that team.
But I think I think Port are deeper than...
GWS.
Than GWS. I reckon Port would make do. Anyway, look, like Statesman said, there could be 10 frigging teams you pick from.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
yeah, and
who's your runner?
And it's the one least affected by injury that is going to get through to the end. My runners-up is pretty easy. It's GWS or Adelaide or Richmond or Sydney. I'll go on. It's exactly the same.
How big's that fence you're sitting on? Christ, it bloody goes across Australia.
It's huge.
The only team that's not going to be in the final semi is North Melbourne.
Well, we can agree on that. I had Sydney running up. Just why not? I think they're a good balanced team. They do everything kind of well. They don't do anything too poorly. A lot of experience, but just bridesmaids again.
I'm going with the Crows back-to-back runners-up for me. I think they just played too tall in the grand final. It's a thing. I think they played too tall in that grand final. They had to lose. Probably Jenko. He's probably the first one to get out there. And they just weren't mobile enough to go with the Tigers. So that's my runners-up. The all-important wooden spoon. Who is coming last for you guys?
I didn't actually want to do this because I kind of like their team, but I actually think it's going to be the Gold Coast Suns. And my reason's pretty simple. The first half of the year, they play on the road. Now, if you're a young team and you play all those travel games, you're going to be burnt out by the end of the year. They're not a super team anyway. That's my reason. I think it's pretty... I actually wanted to say Carlton, but I'm pretty... I would put my money on Gold Coast Suns at the moment, just because of the travel factor purely.
Yeah, for me, it's North Melbourne. Having watched them in the JLT, they're going to come out with a bit of vigour in the first half, probably steal a few wins, but with such a young team there, like the Gold Coast, they're just going to burn out, and there's going to be some big beatings at the end of the year. They're just lacking that star power midfield, a couple of midfielders, I think. That's all they're missing, and they've actually got a pretty good spine. There are bookends at each end for me.
And I've got this massive fence, but I'll give you what I believe is going to be the bottom four, being North Melbourne, West Coast, Brisbane, and Gold Coast. Now, West Coast is probably the surprising one out of that group. I just think they've lost a fair bit of drive out of their midfield. I've got real concern of the ruck situation at the moment. They've got three... ruckman at that club, but they're all injury affected, so there's some real concerns there. And of course, with Josh Kennedy not in the team at the start of the year, and we don't know how long that's going to be, they've got some brittleness in their forward line as well, and I think they're transitioning through their defence, but there's no doubt McGovern and Barras are going to be quite good players. But I think they're just going to be constantly under pressure. So I see a bit of a fall for the West Coast. I don't know how major that's going to be. As you'll see, there's one missing there, which a lot of people are stating, which is Carlton Footy Club. I think they're on the rise.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've got West Coast sliding, but I don't see them as a bottom four team just yet. But certainly agree with Carlton on the rise, for sure.
Next year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
But who's going into the eight and out of the eight for you guys?
Pretty simple. West Coast, get your buns out of there. And this, I think I was the only one to have Richmond going into it last year. But bit more vanilla this year. I got Melbourne going in. I actually want to say Essendon going out as well, but I couldn't find anyone to go in. Melbourne, you're in.
And I'm exactly the same. Melbourne for West Coast. I'd like to see St Kilda, but again, I just couldn't see who was coming out for them. And Bulldogs as well. I think they could possibly, if they string it all together. But I think the only clear one is Melbourne for West Coast.
Yeah, for me, I've got Essendon and West Coast coming out of that eight, and going in, I've got the Doggies and the Hawks.
You're such a homer.
Yep,
such right. a homer.
They'll be back, and the Hawks, I can see, if O'Meara stays fit with that midfield, they've got plenty of star power in the forward and defence. If McAvoy plays sole ruck, we know he's a quality player, especially when he's sole ruckman. They've got a great team there that can play finals, so I can certainly see them bouncing back in 2018.
Yeah, I don't mind it. They're pretty likely types, aren't they?
It's just Clarko. He just knows how to get the best out of everyone.
A good second half, too.
Yeah, that's right. Brownlow medalists. It's a pretty even year this year. You'd think there's a wide spread if everything, all the predictions are going to plan.
Yeah, and that's why I've taken a bit of value. Sorry, Big Fella.
Go for it. What's your value?
Lukey Parker. Lukey Parker, I think he's just the type. It's the midfielder who's got a bit of burst. He goes forward. We know he's one of the best goal-kicking midfielders around. I know Dusty Martin's a jet and could easily go back-to-back, and Fife and Ablett and blah, blah, blah. Give me the value, Luke Parker.
I was keen on Nat Fife. He just looks absolutely superb, but I can't get away from that season I saw from Josh Kelly last year. And if there is another gear to go, then that boy is just going to be amazing. And if he can take just one half step forward, then he's clearly going to be one of the top three players in the competition and needs to get recognised somewhere along the line. And I don't think there's a lot of vote getters that would take it away from him. So you got Danger sitting there, but he's got Ablett beside him. And then he's got a Joel Selwood who can lift when the side needs it. So Nat Fife I liked, but Josh Kelly is my tip for the Brownlow.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I've got Fired Fife on the list as well, but Tommy Mitchell as well. If O'Meara is staying fit, that's going to free up Mitchell to go forward and be a Parker and kick goals and be noticed, like Dusty Martin, which we know Tommy Mitchell can do, but he's not going to be spending that whole time in the midfield. Him and O'Meara in the guts, and we'll go forward for Tommy Mitchell instead of the bench this year.
If you boys think Carlton are on the move, what about Cripps? I mean, he took a couple of marks in the JLT. No one's taken votes off him.
The only thing going against him is you look at umpires, they score for teams with more wins and whatnot. So
that's what I'm saying. If you guys think they're moving up the ladder, then they'll win more games. And they won six last year, so that means they win eight this year.
Mm. Yeah, certainly a value pick. If he's around the $20 mark on Sportsbet, I'll chuck a fiver on that. No worries. Coleman Medal. Yeah, we've seen the rise of the key forward last year, so it's a pretty tight race towards the end of the year. So for me, I'm going Buddy Franklin. He just looks in tip-top shape this year and looks set to go close to an 80 goal year, I think. For me, he's just ready to fire.
Well, I've got to think that I've got to support your call in the fantasy BNF. And if he's winning a fantasy BNF, I thought he would keep his team inside the eight, but that's obviously, the way you're looking things a little bit differently there, Jono. Gut feel, of course. But nice. I'm going for Joey Danaher. I think he's got the goods. I think he's a remarkable player, hugely talented, can change games, and I think he's in for a few big bags. And I think the runner-up will be Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, I've got the Budweiser. Very vanilla. Very vanilla.
Yeah.
I expect a big bounce back from Sydney this year and he's the only show in town.
And you can throw in handsome Tom Lynch in that as well as a Smokey. But
but
away from home, he's actually pretty poor. Doesn't kick as many goals away. But if you want away goals, get on 2 meter Peter. Loves a goal away from home, but can't kick him at home. Moving on to the Rising Star Award. I think there's a few candidates for the Rising Star Award this year for me. I've got Alex Witherden, Sean Darcy, once Sandilands goes down early in the season. He's a big chance. And Andy Brayshaw, he is just impressing in JLT. If Ross the Boss plays him, he's a big chance to play at least 18 games and give himself a big chance to win the Rising Star Award.
Yeah, I'm with you on Andrew Brayshaw. He looked fantastic. I find it hard to go away from either a midfielder or a forward. So I'll have like the look of the Adelaide player Fogarty, who's popped up and put himself in frame. But give me the guy who's going to play 20 odd games, and that's Brayshaw.
And I've gone for value, gentlemen. Oliver Florent from Sydney Swans played 9 games last year. A bit of an exciting player. Can play on the wing, but has mainly played deep forward for the Sydney Swans. So hopefully he'll get a bit more of a space up forward. Obviously, the other one I do like is Alex Witherden. But let's go for the value and go for Oliver.
Is this Florent's first year last year?
Florent's shorter than Brayshaw on Sportsbet.
He's what?
That's not value.
Florent is shorter than Brayshaw on Sportsbet.
Wow. Wouldn't have picked that.
No.
I looked at it today.
Sportsbet don't know their footy players.
Well, I don't know. I thought, see, that's why I said Brayshaw. I'm like, well, that's a bit of value. I don't mind that.
Crazy.
Let me bring up some odds. I'll bring up some odds for you quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, Florent's 14. Brayshaw's 15. Witherden 7. The favourite's Jack Graham from Richmond.
Wow.
He won't be playing much.
Great value, Statesman. You picked the 8th favourite in the betting line.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
And last but not least, who is going to be your first coach sacked for 2018? There's only got to be one, but I've actually got two. But who have you guys got?
Well, if you believe in rain dances and prayer and paying off the gods in all sorts of unspeakable fashions, sacrificing virgins, then it'll be Nathan Buckley and my glorious Magpies will rise from the ashes.
Well, that's one of
mine
my
is none.
Coaches. None.
None. And I'll explain the reason for. West Coast will accept that they're dropped back because of the injuries and the changing of the guard. North Melbourne, Brisbane and Gold Coast all know where they're at. So where North Melbourne is actually a list management strategy. And they all accept that they didn't get their big ticket item and they're cashed up ready to go for the big ticket item. So if they finish with a wooden spoon, I can't imagine they're moving on the coach because they haven't got the list management to support him at this stage. And they're aware of that. That's why they're changing the system. Brisbane and Gold Coast are still new. They're changing over the list and they're moving on. The only other one that people could mention would be Carlton, but they're actually on the rise. So they see improvement, and I tell you that's a very exciting list. Saw them train when they were in Hobart, and they do look slick. So I think they're going to play some good footy this year. Unless Port Adelaide 0-10, which I just cannot imagine. So the expectation's high at that football club. There won't be any changes in the coaches for 2018 unless there's a fallout between a board and a coach rather than just based on performances if the coaches are getting along with their boards and their administration.
Yeah, I'm on the Buckley bandwagon for that one to get sacked. And also, Simo has my smoky
re-signed
from West Coast.
That's the problem. Oh, look, this is a fun section, Statesman. You wouldn't put logic in it. If there was actually logical ones, the only ones who would logically get
sacked. You're
putting
facts
in
the story.
No, but the only ones who'd logically get sacked would be if GWS fell off or Port fell off when the expectations were high.
Yeah. Yep. True.
Yeah. But yeah, Simo, just because they're on the downward and the board might get upset, as you said, Statesman, and there's a bit of a disagreement there, but. They're my two coaches to be sacked. But moving on now, we've got Statesman's captains. So, Statesman, fire away. This is your segment. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so basically when we do Statesman's Skippers on a weekly basis, it will be an article that goes up on the website. Obviously, what we're trying to cover is not your predictable coaches, because every other system does that. This isn't about salary cap. Not everyone has Paddy Dangerfield. Not everyone has Titch, although we would love to. So what we try to do in Statesman Skipper is try to find some value for you. And we will, in the article, we'll actually cover each game and give you some captain options from them and highlight the best unique captain option from each of the games. We'll also do a unique vice-captain loophole option. So this week we're going to concentrate on Richmond and Carlton, and it is the Thursday night game. But of course, if we're working on Ultimate Footy, which a fair margin of our drafts do, you always have, well, should I say, if you have the league set up that way, you should always have the loophole option for the Friday night game. So we'll always cover that. So I'll give two examples today, and on a weekly basis, we'll cover a unique loophole vice-captain option and a unique captain option for the games, expressing that the article, if you go on the website, which will be released the day of the games or the day before the games, will cover every single game for that round. So we'll move to the Richmond and Carlton. So our unique vice-captain loophole this week is Sean Grigg. He never gets attention. That goes to Cochin and or Martin. And the past three games against Carlton, he has scored 109, 111, and 114. He's had a solid pre-season without being outstanding, but fair to say that's true to form with him for his last two pre-seasons. So he saves up his work for the real stuff. We also know he's the pinch hit ruckman for them. So even when he's having a break from his normal role, he's actually still around where the footy is. So that actually picks up his tackle count. So we've actually seen, as soon as he started playing that type of role, his average tackles went up, and so did his scoring. So the equivalent margin of that. So for 110 option, which is basically what you want for your vice captain loophole, if that gets ticked in the box, then you've got a bit of security to start with. What do you think of Sean Grigg as a unique vice-captain loophole?
Yeah, I don't mind it at all, especially in the Ultimate Footy AFL Fantasy formats where disposal efficiency is not a thing, but where Supercoach it is, and we know he's a bit of a JJ and likes to butcher the ball, but still pretty good pick in my opinion.
Well, I think a few people will have ended up with Grigg because we always mention him as value because he does the same as Cochin, except you get him 10 rounds later.
Absolutely. I actually think I picked him up in the top-up for the keeper. So that's automatically round 13, which is absolutely magnificent for someone that's going to average between the 95 and the ton. But he certainly likes playing against Carlton. So we'll cover one unique captain option, and we've picked Collingwood versus Hawthorn game. Thankfully, he's not playing against Carlton, and that's James Sicily. Last year, defenders found it easy to score against Collingwood. We were highlighting that throughout the whole year. I don't think much has changed in that Collingwood forward line, so I can't imagine too much pressure going on him. So there's going to be a fair bit of rebound. And I see it may drop a little bit, but I won't think it'll be huge. I think it'll be pretty similar. So Sicily excelled last time against the Pies, taking 11 marks on his way to 112 points. And I think on the right day against Collingwood, a type of player, the rebound, whether it's Luke Ryan, obviously your Sam Doherty types, and James Sicily, they're going to get anywhere between 110 and 140 points. So whenever you've got a proper rebounding intercept marker playing against Collingwood, jump on them as a captain option if you've got nothing as obvious that week. So James Sicily.
Oh, I love it. I actually was told, sources told me, that 13 of those 11 marks came directly off Taylor Adams' boot.
And a few, and another four off Treloar.
Yeah, that's right. Love it. Making me feel good about my round seven pick there, Statesman, in my my home league.
So that's Statesman Skipper for the week.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that. And if you are enjoying the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Just a bit of a heads up for the listeners. This is our last Wednesday show. We will be dropping on Mondays now. So if you hit that subscribe button, Monday mornings on the way to work, in the car, on the train, the bus, however you get to work, have a listen to us and get your waiver wires in. Check out your captains and everything else as well. Oof. But there was a review this week. From Tyson Renshaw. He says, awesome podcast. Another coach let it slip about your podcast. I've only been listening for a month or two, but enjoyed everything so far. Love to mock draft. Awesome way to practice for the big day. Love the in-depth reports on players. As a person who likes to break down the stats and likes looking at potential, this podcast is perfect for me. Got to risk it to get the biscuit. Cheers, lads. Thank you very much for that, Tyson. If you do want to leave us a review, it's as simple as that. Hit the 5-star rating. Share us with your thoughts with us. We're very happy to read it out and very much appreciative of it. But just before we went on air today, Steve chucked out a tweet asking about Trading 101, if we wanted to talk about it on the pod or a bit of an article. And the fans, you have demanded we talk about it on the pod. A lot of leagues might have newbies to their league who might not know how to trade or what they seem as fair in trading. And we actually had a few people on the Twitter saying that people were lining up to we don't want to see that at all. So we're just going to give a few pointers of what fair etiquette is to trading and what to expect when looking at trades. Steve, what have you got as a few tips for the listeners out there?
Yeah, and John, I just wanted to say, like, track trading, obviously I write the Dozen Deals article each week, big article, everyone loves it. And we know you don't win the league at the draft. We know you don't win the league at the draft. I say it every pod just about, but trading is a big part of it. Everyone loves trading. But the whole question became because I got about three questions within 20 minutes, all asking, what do I do with Tom Mitchell? Do I trade him or do I... you know, someone's offered me a deal. What do I offer for Tom Mitchell? And I'm just going to say, trading for the absolute studs, if you're trying to get him, but you got to offer a lot. And if someone's offering to trade them off you, make them pay overs. This is why, especially in the Dream Team format, Tom Mitchell is the best. Let's say Tom Mitchell's going to average 122, which is slightly under what he did. So that's a pretty fair average, would we suggest?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. Someone offers him Matt Crouch and David Swallow. This came up and we'll get to it in the questions. So Matt Crouch is going to average, let's say, 112, which I think is a pretty fair ballpark to put him in. That's already 10 points below. If this is a captain's league and you captain both of them each week, that's 20 points. What does David Swallow do that he's making up 20 points somewhere else? It just doesn't happen. Like, that second player has to be a stud as well, like, to the point where it's an F1, a D1 kind of player. Otherwise, there's just no value. So hang on to your studs, especially before a ball's even been bounced. Like, it's just, I don't understand why you would draft Tom Mitchell. You're lucky enough to get the number one pick. The worst thing you'd be doing is shipping him out. So the way I like to approach my trades is just, I don't target a player. I don't go in going, I want to get Tom Mitchell, unless it's round four. And let's say someone's had four bad weeks, who's a premium, and I'm looking to get them on the cheap. If I'm looking to even up my squad, say I've got six forwards and I only need five, but my defense is lacking, I'm looking for the team with the weak forward line, with the strong defense, and it just balances it out. That's what we can get a deal done. We can talk fair, and hopefully we get a fair deal done. Talking about the fallen stock, this is a patience game. It's not like someone has a bad round one. Let's say Josh Kelly gets tagged into the ground round one. Yes, you can get a deal done, but I would try to wait for the premium who's had two or three bad weeks in a row. Let's say Matt Crouch starts off slow. Maybe he's a second half player, tends to go better in the second half, has three slow weeks. Can happen. that's the guy you go after. It's not, I want to get player X. It should be, I want to get the player whose value has decreased slightly.
Yeah, perfect example of that. In our home league last year, I had Nat Fyfe. It wasn't producing what I was expecting. Put him up on the table, talking to people in the league. I wanted Dusty Martin. Having a good year, I gave up Fyfe and Nank when he was doing well to get a better player who I thought would do the job for me. And Fyfe did end up going on pretty well in a Supercoach league, but that's where you're coming from. That's the sort of deal. Like, I had to give up a fair bit to get Dusty Martin into my team last year.
Oh, I'm just trying to preach patience. Like, we all want to get deals done and all that sort of thing, but it just doesn't always happen that well. The correct way to build a team is through waivers. Some leagues are more active than others. I know the Listener League, because people don't know each other, we tend to not get many deals done. Jono, our home league, there's bloody four deals every week just about.
Pretty much.
It's just open slather. We love that. But I would really preach the patience attitude. No one has to do a deal. That's a big thing. Statesman, I don't know if you got any tips there for people to tack on.
Yeah, and I totally agree with what you said, and I think part of it as well is actually understanding how to draft. If you're trying to do a trade straight after a draft, then your plan hasn't worked or you didn't adhere to your plan. So you're exactly right. You don't win the draft. You don't win the league at the draft, but you should be planning for it so you manage straight away. I believe in trading to fill gaps, to make that, okay, this is what I've missed, or this is someone picked my pick every time and I had to change tact and it's left me a hole here, but I've got a surplus. Every now and again, if I see an opportunity, and like last year, I actually, in our Listener League, actually drafted four rucks because they were sitting there and people hadn't taken them. So I just grabbed them really quickly because I knew I could trade on. And I think, Jono, I did a trade before round one with you that gave you Shane Mumford from memory. And that was a case of me being able to fill a gap that I couldn't get early. And I think that's why you should do it, rather than just trade before the season starts thinking, I just want to get Tom Mitchell or whatever the case may be. It's you're actually going to generally upset people. I love the win-win trades. Now, it takes time for people to get used to how people operate, but at the end of the day, think, this is going to help me, but it's also going to help them. If you give offers that don't help people, you actually just offset them.
Yeah, that's right. That whole win-win-win-lose trading. Everyone wants to win their trade, but you don't have to win it by a country mile where it's hurting the other person. So we did a deal in the Keeper League, Statesman. I needed a defender. I had your boy Lachie Neale. You came at me with Lachie Neale for Sam Doherty, Josh Smith and Jared Lyons. You had Lyons and Doherty for Smith and Neale. And that was a win-win. I needed a bit more depth in my midfield to cover the loss of Neale. And I needed something in my back line as well for a bit of star power. And you just wanted Lachie Neale because you love Lachie Neale. And that worked out for everyone. So, but those win-lose trades that you talk about, where you want Tom Mitchell, but you're going to give up Braden Fiorini for it, then if you keep throwing that out, then as you said, Statesman, people just won't trade with you and you've cut someone out of that league, especially if you're in a smaller league, in a 6 or 8-man league, then it's going to be harder to get deals done.
No, absolutely. And the trade that you and I had, it was because I was at pick 12. So I didn't really get my captain option. And Lachie was having a poorer season. So I knew there was an opportunity that his value was a little bit lower than probably would have been prior to draft. I think you picked him up at number 4 from memory. So he was pick number 4 in a keeper league. So I wanted a captain option. And if I'm going to get a captain option off you, I need to give something, and that was the number one defender.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I will say on I'm probably a little bit different. I like trading for I want to get studs in my team, and that's generally through the midfield. But we know midfield is really the hardest guys to get. So when we're talking in draft season, and we're talking those lottery ticket picks, What you need to do is actually have one or two of them you hit on, or maybe scoop off the waiver wire after the first week. Get that guy who's popped, pair him up with one of your lower end mids, and don't go for the big dog. Don't go for your Zach Merritt. Don't go for your Luke Parker. But go for
a Dyson Heppel.
Dyson Heppel.
A Trent Cotchin.
Yeah, you'll get into this range. You'll get into Steel Side Bottom. You'll get into
Callum Ward.
Yeah, so someone those, might have cold feet on Gary Ablett. Those are the you'll move your Jared Lyons and player who's popped. Let's say it's Hayden Crozier into Trent Cotchin. That's what you'll do. That's to me. That's what the point of getting these lottery tickets is. Now, whether you actually keep the lottery ticket, who's popped in your forward line or your defence line, and trade out your Shannon Hearn, who's just a run of the mill defender, that's fine. That's fine. But to me, that's the way you upgrade. It's not to go, how can I turn Jared Lyons and Hayden Crozier into goddamn Matt Crouch? You're just
not going to happen.
Like, Jonah, in our home league, we trade every week. But there's a guy I just won't field offers from. Won't listen to him. He's pissed me off that many times. The door's shut. Like, if you do it to people, the door will shut. So I don't know.
That's right.
And I would also say, just I know we talk about it a lot and people think it's kind of a funny thing, but brand power matters. And we see this in people's drafts where they were giving people shots for the bad picks, and some of the bad picks were quite fine. If you've got a... Like, I drafted Braden Fiorini in round 16 on the weekend, Jono, and I was happy as a pig in you know what, and someone in our league went, "Who's that?" And I just went,
"Yeah, I'd be." That's like, what's that's when the Shane O'Mac music hit, and that was it.
Yeah, that's it. So, but no one cares about Braden Fiorini. But if I was to talk to that person about selling them, they know Tom Liberatore, or they know Ciro Rioli, or they know older player who's been a genuine player. Sometimes you're better off selling the older player and keeping the younger player, even if you might just get a better value on a worse scoring player, even though you think you might not. It's one of those funny things, the brand power game. Like, look at Jack Billings, probably not the brand power player that Isaac Heaney is. They could average the same, but we always see Jack Billings drop and Isaac Heaney go so early. It's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Taking Billings in round 4 in our home league. Very happy with that.
Yeah. Who knew?
Any other points on the trading 101 there, guys?
It's a very impromptu discussion, I've got to say.
Hey, we've got some good points out there, but hit us up on the social media if you do want to ask us any more in-depth questions about the trading, and we will be talking about it throughout the home and away season as well. But we do have a fair few questions to get through today. I'm going to kick it off with at TWR412 on the Twitter. And he says, should Burton owners be nervous? With Birchall cooked, is there any way Taylor Jarea becomes relevant circa 2015?
I was so hot on Taylor Jarea, I think, the first year we did the podcast, Jono, back in the pre-Statesman days. And it never happened. Taylor Jarea is a pass for me. I'd rather take a chance on someone like a Connor Glass, but yes you should be a little bit nervous, but I don't know, I think you got to ride it out at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Statesman, what do you think? I know you're a bit keener on Burton than we are.
Well, I'm a
bit less
I just want to see what happens in the season proper. And this is where we can overreact sometimes in JLT. We talked about that, of whether his role during the JLT was more of an education phase rather than what's going to happen in the real season. We just talked about Sean Grigg. Last year, pumped out 260s in the JLT, and then round one pops out 114 and averaged 96 for the season. So, look, it's KK's a little bit the same, and I think I wrote about it with regards to the Gold Coast preview. People that own Burton, Robertson and KK, yes, they should be a little bit nervous, but we've got to see what plays out in the season proper and what their role becomes. And also, you only need one injury and then someone's role changes. And then that means someone else's role changes and all of a sudden you've got five changes of roles. So, yeah, it's not looking pretty at the moment, but I've been pretty happy with the way he's played footy in the real game. So let's see what happens in the next couple of weeks. And I don't think it's Birchall that changes Burton's role. And Jure's been meant to break out for 4 or 5 years, same as Vlosten, same as many other players, and we all get excited about the possible breakouts. But a lot of these actually just never do. They're just good, solid footballers that pump out 60s and 70s.
Fair enough. I think we mentioned it before, but from at West Coast legend Jack Spratt says, what's your thoughts on David Swallow this year? He has a trade in front of him in Ultimate Footy, Tom Mitchell for Dave Swallow and Matt Crouch. Anything you could give me would be invaluable. Steve, I see you answer this question, but fire away.
Yeah, I made sure I got to, who was it, West Coast Legend?
West Coast Legend.
Yeah, I made sure I got to it before he clicked accept trade and just said, please don't. But David Swallow, I think he was always an interesting late round selection in your draft. We know he scored okay off the half back. I'm unsure what he's going to score this year. Was he a target of mine? No. If he fell to me, would I have taken him? Yes. If I wanted him, I'd be trading him one up, straight up for a low end forward or a defender. I certainly wouldn't be getting him as steak knives in any deal because I'm not confident of any prop.
You don't see him taking Hall's role for a couple of weeks while he's out?
No, I really don't. He could be fine. He could be fine, but he's an M6, M7 to me.
From Bangers and Mash 85, he goes, what would it take to get Tom Mitchell off someone?
David Swallow and Matt Crouch.
Your soul and someone good.
Forget it.
If I was going to try get Matt Crouch, Tom Mitchell, I would be offering something that has all the potential in the world that could go seriously wrong. Something like Gary Ablett and
Steph Martin.
Devin Smith.
And might as well throw in Steph Martin because Archie Smith could just return from the dead as well and put an end to that.
Slack Nags did respond from our Keeper League to that question from Bangers and Mash, and he said incriminating photographs, and even then they'll have to be especially juicy.
I like it. I like
it's
it.
Overs. Overs is the hit.
Yes. Alex Thornhill has asked us to please rate and roast Listener League teams. I haven't really had a chance to sit down and go through them all just yet. Maybe you have the statesman if you've got a couple of minutes to run through it quickly.
I haven't had the chance to have a look through, so I will at some stage.
And I'll just have to respond for next week's show and go from there.
I was actually really happy with my team for once.
But will it win?
Nah. Well, I showed up to the draft. That was a big tick in the right direction.
Like the six rucksmen you got in the Keeper League?
Yeah. Someone offered me another ruckman in a trade.
From Guru Glasser at Rudenut on Twitter, he goes, what are some of the better pay systems you found for money leagues? Prize money outside your general 1, 2, 3. He's looking for more weekly prizes, end of season prizes to keep the lower teams a bit more engaged. Actually, one of our listeners and on Twitter has answered that. At Wanchwarm answered that. He said, you get the flag, you get $300. Runner-up is $150. Minor premier, $150. Second home away, $100. If you tip the Coleman, it's a $50. A Brownlow is $50. If you get the Rising Star, it's $50. Highest individual round score, $50. Highest team round score, $50. And internal tipping as well is $50 as well. I don't know how much they're putting into this league, but I want to get in on that. If you get minor premier in the winner, that's a cool $500 right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't like rewarding mediocrity. I think if you're out, I don't know. To me, I think you should be just getting absolutely destroyed on social media by your league mates, quite frankly.
Booed until my voice is hoarse.
This is the great, you know, this is the one thing keeper leagues do have over redraft, is that there is always something to play for. Whereas redraft, once it's over, people do drop off and lose interest. I don't have a good answer. Yes, you can have a minor final series. I don't know. I think it's tough titties, quite frankly. But it's, you know.
Yeah. I agree. Just, we have in our home league just first and second, and that's it. The rest go home and wait till next
maybe
year.
Maybe if you wanted to have a best round score for the teams who missed the playoffs, I don't think that's a horrible one. But
I do. That's the thing with Supercoach, though. They lock you out once you're eliminated from finals.
No, but so. I mean, you know who's going to miss the finals, and you just go back and look at their weekly scores through the year.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. From Very Stable Genius, at Topher Street asks, who would you tip to kick the most goals between Tabata, McCartan, and the GOAT, Cam Pedersen? If he plays, I'll say Matty Tabner.
Jeez. He doesn't get dropped. Love that JLT form. I'll say Paddy McCartan. Don't love it, though. Don't love it. He might be playing way up the ground. Could be Matty Tabner in it with 20 goals. 10 goals.
McCartan might do a...
Christ, it could be the GOAT.
Concussion. Jesse Hogan goes down with another hammy. It's all about the GOAT. He's just got a follow-up question as well. Would there be any late-round guys you could see kicking 2 goals a game? Very hard to kick 2 goals a game, but if there's anyone, I'd put my hand up for Josh Dunkley. If he's playing that half-forward, small-forward role, he could bob up, kick 2 goals a game, but unlikely.
I'd actually go Mark Lacroix. I think he's dropped off the radar for most, and I think he's capable of kicking you 2 goals a game. And probably, speaking about the same club, Jack Darling has that sort of potential. And I think also Mitch McGovern for Adelaide. And they seem to be on waiver wires in most leagues that we actually see at the moment. So there's 3 for you. And Alex Vassolo, if he plays.
Yeah, well, that was a categories question. I had... the Himmelberg for JOS, whichever one it was.
I don't think we're up to that one yet.
No, but he's a cat. He could kick 2 goals a game.
Oh, yeah.
He's a late round one. I don't know. It's very late.
Yeah.
I mean, Gresham's probably gone, I assume, but I'd say Gresham.
Gresham could still be there.
I don't know.
And Harry Taylor, if he plays up forward.
He ain't playing forward this year,
I don't think. Oh, Crammery.
That's it, I'm out of here. Liam Commode asks, what averages do you think Zorko, Redden, and Prestia will finish with this year?
Oh, Christ, in what?
Yeah, I'll go 100 for Zorko. I'm talking AFL fantasy. Zorko 105 to 110, Redden 95 to 100, and Prestia 95 to 100, but could be, depending on his injury concerns, more closer to 90 to 95.
Yeah, probably a little bit cooler on Prestia. Despite the hot finish last year, the recurrence of injury just terrifies me, and I think that low 90s is his ballpark. Zorko, did you say 105 to 110? That seems reasonable. Yep. And Jack Redden. I'm going to say 94 on the dot.
Boom.
Good year for West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, like 105 to 110 for Zorko. Around the 100 mark for Redden and 95 to 100 for Prestia for me, if it were Supercoach. James Alexander on Twitter asks, he says, every season there seems to be a number of coaches in his league who tank the first couple of rounds to get restricted free agent priority. do you view this as a viable strategy, and what major points they should be looking at regarding potential waiver wire pickups at the start of the year?
I'll answer the first part of the question is no. It is not a viable strategy. You've got to take the wins where you can, because you just don't know when you're going to be hit for injury. I have the Gold Coast midfielder who just got injured, Aaron Hall. I have Aaron Hall in nearly every league there is possible, thinking he's going to have an absolute blinder of a year without Ablett. And he's obviously in my keeper and has been for a couple of years. And all of a sudden, wham, bam, he's out for 1, 2, or 3 weeks. So at the end of the day, if you throw away two games just to get waiver wire priority, you are just throwing away your options to make the finals. Take the wins while you can, and just be smart on your draft, on your trades, and your pickups, wherever your priority may be.
Yeah, I think it's really... Actually, what are you doing with waivers being set to reverse ladder order, for starters? That's a no-no.
Yeah, exactly right.
What's going on there? Just set it to reverse draft order, and then just as they're placed or claimed. I don't know. Now, I'm with Sason. It's bad strat. I don't know why you'd do that. Although I do tend to value my waiver pick, Jono, as you would well know.
Yes, whereas I just throw it away like a $20 note for a cheap hooker.
Well, see, this is the interesting... Well, it's really interesting because waivers at the start of the year are so much more valuable, or generally more valuable, than at the end of the year. But the interesting thing is, because I tend to play matchups a lot, is the good matchup players will often sneak through past the waiver claims, and they just become free agents, because the waiver clause might not have great matchups, so you tend to can still sort of manipulate some value that way as well.
Absolutely. Like that Brandon Matera pickup, 2 160s and then dropped the following week.
Happens.
It does. Just lost the question. There it is. Pat LaJulia asked, who is the best defender outside of Rory Laird for a Supercoach draft?
IMO, Yo.
Yo, Hibbard, Hurley, take your pick.
Yo.
Yo. our next question also comes from James Alexander as well. He says, our thoughts on Hayden Crozier this year. He should surely gain defender status in the ultimate footy game, and should be good for an 80 average. He loves the defender forward statuses because it's as it covers two lines. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm
totally
on.
Agree.
I grabbed him in our home league, Jono, that doesn't even have the position change. Leading kick in taker for the Bulldogs over the JLT. I think I had Creighton Crozier as one of our guys 2 years ago when he was playing defence and was listed as a forward at Fremantle. Don't know what it is about Crozier, and he must be playing in the mirror universe or something. But yeah, no, I'm all about it.
All right, that wraps up the show for this week. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Search us on Facebook as well. Search The Draft Doctors there. And we've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. And if you haven't done your draft yet, check out the mock site, mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. Why you're drafting on a Wednesday night, I do not know, but do check it out, because we are still getting people signing up, which is fantastic. And thank you to everyone who did sign up. We hope you enjoyed the product, and I hope it goes on to winning your league. As I said halfway through the show, we are moving back to Mondays now, so set your watches to that. So the show will now be getting to your device on a Monday morning, so you can enjoy on the way to work and start the week off fresh with all the fantasy news coming at you. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.